Great gaping holes had been smashed in the walls of the shack. Planks had been torn loose with such force that they snapped away, leaving jagged scars of ends, bright in comparison to the weather-faded wood. In the yellow light of the lantern the Baron held in a white hand, the inside looked as if somebody had splashed buckets of blood around the cramped interior. Loops of intestines, greasy and marbled purple-gray, hung from sagging rafters like strings of sausages in the devil's butcher shop. Pale arms and legs, ruptured chests and half-faces, eyes staring through blood masks and paroxysms of agony and terror, were strewn like chunks of broken meat furniture through the chaos. The smell brought a curl to even Ryan's lips. The gibbous moon leered down at the party like a pockmarked yellow idiot face through black treetops.
Fairly fresh.
The sleeves of Blackwood's fine white shirt were rolled up his arms. His white hair was tied back with a black ribbon. He carried two swords strapped in scabbards across his back, the hilts protruding above his shoulders. His two Smith & Wesson revolvers were holstered butt forward at angles in front of either hip, cross-draw style.
Day old, maybe.
Mildred was frowning past the Baron's white shoulder into the chamber of charnel horrors, illuminated from without by the yellow light of several lanterns.
I think he's right. Blood's congealed, and the bodies look rigged. Parts.
Guerrero carried a Mossberg 500 marine pump shotgun with an 8-round magazine in a big hairy hand. He and Blackwood sported the only repeating smokeless powder guns Ryan had seen in the Ville. The other dozen or so sec men and Ville inhabitants who accompanied them carried regular black powder guns or crossbows, if they had projectile weapons at all. Several carried no more than big knives or machetes, though Ryan had noticed that none failed to bear arms of some sort. That said something about Haven. Most barons Ryan had encountered were careful to try to keep weapons out of the hands of their subjects, other than their sec force, of course.
How many, Guerrero?
We count 6 heads, Baron.
Including that one stuck up there on the stove chimney pipe?
7. Sorry, Baron. This is the worst attack yet.
Don't worry about getting the count wrong. A man or woman who could remain unmoved by a spectacle such as this is not to be trusted, even in such a world as ours.
Something I don't quite track, begging your pardon, Baron.
You have it. Please speak freely. Honeyed words and soft gloves won't change this horror, nor help us combat it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned at dinner how nothing much happens here in Haven without you hearing about it pronto. But that big, fine house of yours is only an hour from here.
Easily explained. The house is isolated. Nearest neighbors a quarter mile away, and they reported they were playing loud fiddle music and drinking shine all last night.
We only get reports if someone lives to tell the tale, and the beast don't leave nobody alive when he hits.
I apologize if I gave you all a false impression at Blackwood House. Yes, our swamp telegraph extends throughout the Ville, and even beyond the fringes of the region we claim in places. But its coverage is far from complete. Our people have lived here for generations since Skydark. But even to us, this remains in many ways a land of mystery.
Ace on the line.
What do you want? Egg in your brew?
A break every now and then would be nice, if only to break the monotony.
Lights bobbed in the woods nearby. The Baron's retinue tensed and started to raise their weapons. Ryan's little group drew closer to each other by sheer reflex, although none made to draw a weapon.
Don't shoot. It's only us.
The Havenites recognized the voice and relaxed. Ryan and company didn't. They'd seen people gulled before by clever enemies pretending to be friends. But it was only the dog handlers and a couple of sec man escorts, their bloodhound's eyes gleaming in the orange light, veined with black smoke from the resinous pinewood splinter torches the trackers carried.
Sorry, Baron. Dogs lost the track.
Again.
Maybe the monster swims. We don't know. No one can track it far. It's like it vanishes into thin air.
Peace, we know that.
Holding a turpentine-soaked rag in front of her nose, Mildred ventured into the shack with a kerosene lantern to examine the human wreckage. No one envied her. After a few minutes, she came out, shaking her head.
I'm sorry. I can't tell anything that might be of actual use. Like I told you, I'm not an expert on examining murder victims to see what killed them.
Please, Dr. Wyeth, tell us what you can. Who knows what might prove valuable?
Everything seems consistent with some kind of big animal doing the damage. Bodies are torn up as if by teeth and claws, not sliced up cleanly the way a blade would do. The killers must have been fast to incapacitate so many people. There's even a long blaster of some kind in there, with its stock all busted and the barrel bent almost double.
So it's strong too, you might say.
I found what I think might be the torso belonging to that head up there. By the look of the neck, the head was just twisted off like a chicken's.
Could it have been a bear?
I'm not sure.
Guerrero, I thought you said the beast left no witnesses alive.
It leaves none of its intended victims alive, as far as we've learned. Others, though, claim to have glimpsed it hunting by night.